night before the service this morning, if I had to, if it was a lot of work for me to come up with the message today, if it was something I had to wrestle with a lot. And the truth is, it really wasn't. And I don't mean that to boast any kind of way, far from it, but what I mean by that is it's a topic that affects me personally, and that makes it a little bit easier. And unless I've missed my guess, it's a topic that affects everyone in here. So quick poll, by the show of hands, if you have never worried about anything, and you do not worry about anything, raise your hand. That's what I thought. You didn't raise your hand, did you, Teresa?
No. All right.
And I've chosen as the key verse today, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And what I hope to show you today through God's word is that worry is actually a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. How many of you knew that? The Bible speaks about worry. It does. And it's something that affects all of us. All of us worry. People from all walks of life, every color, everybody worries about something. Even my kids, they worry about things. Not the same kind of stuff you and I worry about, but they worry. How many of you heard the story of the 110-year-old elderly lady at the nursing home? All right, I'll tell you. She had a friend from her church that decided she was going to go to the nursing home to visit her. And this elderly lady's name is Martha. And so her friend from the church gets there and she says, "Martha, how are you doing today?" "I'm worried sick." "Well, why are you worried, Martha? You're looking pretty good. Aren't they feeding you?" "Oh yeah, they're feeding me good." "You're not hungry?" "No, I'm not hungry at all." "Well, are they treating you good? You look good." "Oh, they're treating me just fine. No complaints." "Well, Martha, what in the world are you worried about?" And Martha kind of takes a slow rock back in her chair and she takes a deep breath. She says, "All my friends have died and gone to heaven years ago. So Martha, what's the problem? You're still with us." "I'm just worried sick that they're wondering where I went." We all worry. What are some of the things, let's just be real here, let's be honest, what are some of the things that we worry about? We all worry about money, our jobs, possessions, and people tend to think, if I just had a bigger pot of money, I wouldn't worry. But you know what? I don't think that's true. You're either worried about how to get money, or you're worried about how not to lose money. But we all worry about money. We worry about our jobs, possessions. I think I heard kids. Yes, we worry about our family, particularly our children and our parents. We worry about our health. Either how to keep it or how to restore it. Sometimes we worry about things like our future. What's the future going to be like? What does the future hold for me? Or the direction of our country? We worry about all kinds of things, don't we? And like I said, we all do it. So I think this is a message that God has given us that relates to each and every one of us. And what I want to show you through God's scripture today is what the Bible has to say about worry. And then, I hope, a few practical steps that we can all take to kind of loosen the grip of worry on our lives. So, before we go any further, let me just say that although I just said that the Bible speaks against worry, I also said we all do it. It's something that we all do to varying degrees. And I do believe some of us are more predisposed to worry than others. Okay, so I'm not casting stones at anybody here. I'm not casting, A++ personalities. So I'm not casting stones at anybody. But the Bible does say something about it. And so it's a mark that we all have to strive for. Not that we're going to reach perfection, but, we need to try to apply the biblical principles. that God has put forth in His Word and applied to our lives. So before we get into the scripture, let's have a word of prayer. God, as we're about to dig into Your Word this morning, Father, we recognize that these are Your words. This is Your message. I pray, Father, that You would just get me out of the way and that Your truth would come forth. We pray, Father, for spiritual understanding. We pray for insight. We pray for something that we can apply to our lives, God, in a way that would glorify You and in a way that would draw us closer to You. Father, thank You for everything You do. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. So, I'm going to read for you some scripture, as I said, from the book of Matthew, from the Gospel of Matthew. And this is out of Matthew chapter 6. And so this is right in the middle of the famous Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, you know, I want you to imagine in your head, Jesus speaking. He's probably on the lower section of this mountain, and the multitudes are surrounding him. And we believe this is somewhere near Capernaum. This is pretty early in Jesus' ministry. He might have been 31 or so when he gave this message. But just imagine, all of the people are around Jesus, and they're kind of hanging on his every word. And so Jesus was giving them truths that they needed to hear. They needed to hear it then, just like we need to hear it now. It's a timeless message, nothing new under the sun. People have always struggled with this. I'm going to read, I usually read the NIV. Sometimes I'll read the King James. But I decided this morning to read the New Living Translation. So it's going to be slightly different than what's in your text in the Pew Bibles. But I really, really like the way it put it. So I'm going to read the NLT this morning. And I'm going to start with verses 25 through 27. Jesus says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Let's stop right there. What we see already, before going any further, is Jesus is explaining to the multitudes and to us, because this is for us, Jesus is explaining we should avoid worry. And we should avoid it for a couple of reasons. I love the last bit there on verse 27. Reread verse 27. It says, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" And of course, it's a rhetorical question, because the answer is obviously no. It can't. It can't add anything to your life, which makes it absolutely pointless. I read somewhere that you can take all the stuff that you worry about and you can split it into two categories, two buckets. On one hand, you have all the things that you worry about where you can control the outcome. Well, if you can control the outcome, there's not a whole lot of point in worrying about it because you control the outcome. And then there's the stuff where you can't control the outcome. But you know what? It's pointless to worry about that too, because you can't control the outcome. And worrying about it isn't going to do you any good at all. And in fact, what I'm going to show you is it's actually harmful. The only thing you get from worry is gray hair. It doesn't do any good whatsoever. And in fact, it is more harmful than that. Another reason you shouldn't worry, look at what Jesus was talking about here. He said, don't worry about your food or your drink or your clothing, these basic necessities. Don't spend time worrying about them, because God already knows you need them. God already knows you need them, and He'll take care of it. Now, what he didn't say is you don't have to work for anything. I want to make that pretty clear. He did compare the situation to the birds. He said that the birds, they don't plan ahead. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store food up in barns. But one thing birds do is work. I mean, you see the baby birds sitting there, you know, waiting for the worms to fall.
But the adult birds are out there, they're gathering, they're working. So don't confuse this to say somebody's going to knock on your door, you know, with a bag of groceries. You have to work. But he said you shouldn't worry about it. Do what the birds do. They just go about their business, they work, and God does provide for them. And I also thought about the Janis Joplin song, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" Probably not. It's probably not. That's not what it's saying. He's gonna supply for your basic necessities. God is gonna do that. So we're told here that God does provide. Let's look at verses 31 through 34, again from the NLT. So do not worry, saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. 33, this is our key verse. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, did you catch that at the very beginning of this section of scripture here? If you're reading the NIV, and I don't know what the Pew Bible says, but the NIV says that the pagans run after all these things. The pagans run around worrying about stuff. The NLT, which I just read, says that these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Unbelievers, pagans. Is that a category of people that you want to be associated with? Not me. Shouldn't we, as Christians, as children of God, shouldn't there be something different about us? If the pagans and the unbelievers are running around worrying about all this stuff, maybe we shouldn't. And the scripture says God already knows what your needs are. And if you really look at it, beginning with verse 33, it seems to be setting up a contrast. You have an alternative. Here's an option. On one hand, you can do what the pagans do, run around worrying about everything, fretting about every little thing. On the other hand, you can seek first, above all else, the kingdom of God and try to live righteously. You can do one or the other. And you really cannot do both. And I'll explain why in a minute. But we're told that if we do that, if we seek first the kingdom of God and we try to live righteously, then he will give us everything that we need. This is God's word. That's what he says. So, I want to propose this. I believe that the reason God does not want us worrying about these things, I believe the reason he doesn't want us spending our mental energy and putting our focus on stuff we can't control anyway and on worry is because it detracts from our relationship with him. It detracts from our relationship with him. Think about it. If you're putting all your focus on things of the world, and you're worried about the things of the world, and that's what's occupying your thoughts, and that's what's coming first, well, that means that God is not first. He's not first. And that's really the underlying issue here. The issue is putting God first. The issue is trusting him at his word. The issue is, and here's something again I struggle with, giving up control and giving the control over to God. So I just read you from God's word, okay? I'm not making stuff up. We just read it. And so my question to you is, now that we have read the scripture, and we probably all read it before, we've all heard it, we all know it at an intellectual level, but my question to you, now that we've read it again, is when God says, "Don't worry about it, I know what you need," do you believe him? Do you take him at his word or not? See, it's one thing to know what it says. It's another thing to actually be able to trust him enough that you're not going to worry, that you're going to let him deal with the situation. Like I said earlier, I don't want this to be a purely theological discussion, if you will. I want there to be some application here. I want there to be something that we can put into motion, something we can practice. What are some practical things that we can do now that we know God's word? Because I know that the truth is, it's easy for somebody to stand up here and say, don't worry, trust God, and all of these things. But let's face it, worriers have a hard time not worrying. I don't get an amen out of that. I mean, worriers have a hard time not worrying. And you know, when the mortgage is due, when your job is in danger, when your health is failing, when your kids are sick, all these things, it's hard not to worry. Believe me, I know. It's tough. So what can we do? How do we overcome worry? I've got a few things, some of them simple, some of them not so simple, but I'm just going to run through a few things. Number one, focus on the present. I'm guilty of this. And what I mean by that is, well, I'm guilty of not doing this. What I mean by that is, you know, look back at Matthew. Look at Matthew 6, 34. The last thing Jesus said in our text, he said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. He says very clearly there, don't worry about tomorrow. We need to worry about today. We need to live in the present. I think it's okay to plan for tomorrow. Sure, make plans for tomorrow. It may happen, it may not. It's okay to make plans for tomorrow. What it's not okay to do is worry about tomorrow. The Bible does say we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. And I would suggest we shouldn't get so wrapped up in the future that we fail to enjoy and live in the present. And again, this is something that I have been guilty of. I have to constantly remind myself of this. I have two young kids. One of them's 9, one of them is just about 6, and they only grow up once. And I have to remind myself of that time and again. If I put all my focus and energy into what tomorrow is going to bring, I'm going to miss what's right in front of me. And so we need to focus on the present. Second thing I think we can do to help alleviate worry and stress is to prioritize. Prioritize. Let me explain that. I think as a culture, as a society, our priorities are all out of whack. They really are. They are so out of whack. We live in a culture that really values achievement. We live in a society that celebrates success, and your success is measured by how many rungs up the corporate ladder you've stepped, how much money you make, how many people you have working beneath you, what you've accomplished, something you can point to. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't buy into it. There's nothing wrong with ambition. There's nothing at all wrong with a little ambition. But you can't let it consume you. You can't let ambition consume you. There is something to be said about simply being content. About being content. This sounds cliche. It is cliche. But I'm convinced it's true. The saying goes, when Jesus comes into focus, all your problems go out of focus. And the reason for that goes back to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God above all else. I want to throw a little curveball at you. Think about this. Let's say you're cruising through life. You're doing your thing. You're not really worried about what God's will is for your life, what his plan is. You know what you want to do, and you're doing it. God might want you to do something else. That's his problem. You're doing what you want to do. Do you think that God wants you to feel secure and peaceful if that's the situation? Probably not. He's probably going to try to nudge you in the direction that you need to go, to try to line your will up with his will. And so there's really some wisdom here, and we really have to consider this. When it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that speaks to making sure that our priorities are in line with God's priorities, that we are earnestly seeking His will for our life. And I believe that when we do that, then we can really have security. We can really have peace. We can really have joy, but you won't have any of it if you're not seeking His will above all else. So again, priorities. Not our priorities, but are God's priorities. Making sure we have those right. Another suggestion. This is going to sound cheesy. It's cheesy. I'll go ahead and tell you it's cheesy. Spend time with God and His creation. Spend time outdoors. Look at what we read here, Matthew chapter 6. Did you notice the references to the outdoors? He's talking about the birds of the air and the wildflowers of the field, the lilies of the field. He's talking about the outside. Again, you know, maybe this is a bit cheesy, but I find it really enjoyable and relaxing to get outside. I love it when we go to the Appalachian Trail. We hadn't done it in a while, but we did it just recently, and I loved it because we get outside and we enjoy God's creation, and you get outside and you're just in awe of God's creation and His attention to detail. And you get this sense of how big and majestic and awe-inspiring God really is. He is so big and He is so powerful. And He pays attention to the smallest little thing. Luke 12:7 says that the very hairs on your head are numbered. He pays that much attention to detail. And so when you think about that, and when you really spend time with God and you consider how big He is, our little problems don't seem like anything that a big God can't handle. We can have faith and confidence that God can handle our situation. I saw on Facebook, I don't mean to pick on Stacy, but you put it on Facebook, so it's out there. She said she was looking forward to going out under a full moon and meditating. You didn't turn into a werewolf, did you? Okay. But, you know, I think that's great because, you know, getting outside, quiet time, contemplating, reflecting, and praising God for His creation and your part in it. I think there's some real value in that. Next, I'm going to refer here to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I think it's really starting to get at the heart of the matter here. Listen to what it says. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience His peace, God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. What it's telling us here is that the more time we spend in prayer, the more we learn to focus on God, the more we learn to rely on God, the more attuned we are to God's will, and as a result, the more peace we will have in our life. We should bring all of our needs, all of our burdens, all of our concerns. The Bible tells us right here in Philippians, don't worry about them. Take them to God in prayer. He wants us to do that. Why does He want us to do that? 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, give all your worries to God because He cares about you. He wants us to give them to Him because He cares about us, each and every one of us. He cares about us, and so He wants us to take our problems to Him. And I'm going to leave you with one more. So far we've seen focus on the present. We've seen prioritize. I almost put in there simplify. Prioritize, simplify, spending time with God, quiet time with God, and afterwards, or wherever, spend quiet time with God, pray, and here's the tough one, choose, and I say choose, to trust Him fully. You have to make that choice. Make a decision. You want to trust God fully. And I'm going to give you an example of someone who I think holds that, who trusts God fully. I mentioned last week, I lifted up a former coworker of mine, Greg Mike, you know, where I don't know, but her name was Tina Cook.
Christina told me December of 2010 that she was leaving the company. And my first thought was, okay, she's had enough. She's been here a few years. She's tired of it. She's moving on. But then we got to talking, and she explained why she wanted to leave the company. Well, Tina, earlier that year, had been in a car accident. And it was a bad car accident. It was one of those side impact collisions. Keep going. And she shared with me how just before the car was about to hit her, was about to collide, she remembers looking up and seeing that car and knowing this is going to be bad. I might not make it. That was her last thought before she woke up in the hospital. She's hurt. Praise God, she wasn't hurt permanently, but she was laid up for a while. She focused on at home. And while she was at home, she read her Bible fervently. She just spent time in God's Word. Eventually, she did recover. I think it took a few weeks. She went back to work. And things weren't the same. So she goes through a few months, and she's talking with God, trying to figure out, you know, God just spared me. What is it that you want from me? And she began to realize that God wanted her to do something. And she felt like what God wanted her to do was to quit her job, although she didn't think she could afford it. She was going to go back to school for a while to learn how to do cosmetics and things like that. She wants to open up her own shop called In His Image, where she can witness to young women and girls that come in about Jesus Christ. That's part of the deal. You come in, you're going to get witnessed. That's her vision. And so she set about doing that.
Well, she has gone through school now, and she is working. She hadn't got to the point where she's opened her business yet, but she is trying to follow God's plan here. Well, I mentioned last week that Tina's husband got laid off, and here's how I found out. Facebook message. So be careful what you put on Facebook. So Shane got laid off from PCS today. I'm looking up. God is in control. I will not be afraid. We thank God that he is going to show up and supernatural provision is on the way! Exclamation mark. That's somebody who trusts in God. Do we have that kind of trust in God? Because if you do trust in God, there's really not a whole lot to worry about. If you want to loosen the grip of worry on your life, choose to trust in God. Ask yourself the question, if you don't trust in God, or you don't trust in him fully, exactly who do you trust in? Okay. I'll leave you with this. Proverbs 16, verse 20. It says, those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. Worry, stress, anxiety, they come on all of us. It's a part of life. We all deal with it. If you don't know the Savior, or you are not following Matthew 6:33, if you're not fully seeking his kingdom and really trying to put it first, then I would suggest you are struggling unnecessarily. But if you have given your life to him, you can really find rest for your soul. And it's not that your problems are going to disappear. We know that. Your problems aren't going to disappear. But it's all about perspective, and it's about orientation. Perspective and orientation. We can choose to put worry in its place by having the proper perspective, by orienting ourselves to God's will, and to fully and truly trust in what he is doing. Only then can we have, as Philippians 4:7 says, the peace and the joy that exceeds anything we can understand.
fun that we've had together in your house this morning, worshiping you and lifting up your name, Father, in word and music. We pray that as we go forth from this building, Father, that you would help us to remember your words, that you would help us to apply these truths to our lives.